Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We are so glad you made it a point to join us for the fastest 2 hours in radio at YSR. And tonight we have got an exceptional lineup. We are so delighted to kick off our show with one of the most recognizable names in sports, and that is Lee Steinberg. His moniker is the Super Agent. He is the president, the CEO of Steinberg Sports and Entertainment. And if you haven't heard, he is the newest member of the Yahoo Sports Radio Network. Lee's new show debuted this past Monday night on YSR. Incidentally, take note of this. It airs from 8 to 10 Eastern time. We want to encourage you to carve out some time on Mondays and go behind closed doors with Lee Steinberg. Lee, congratulations on the show. And I have to tell you, I listened to your entire program on Monday night. I got the ultimate sports fix, all the fabulous interviews with Adam Schefter and Eddie George and Coach June Jones. And I also got a little Johnny Manziel, too. How does it feel to be in the wonderful world of radio?
Well, Yahoo's the best, and so I wanted to be with the best, and I had done two talk radio shows as a host earlier in my life, one up in San Francisco and one in Southern California, and in both cases, my then wife forced my early retirement, and so she's not with me, but the radio show is.
Well, it's got to be pretty cool, too, to get up close and reconnect with so many of your clients and your friends from the past.
Well, it really is, and the interesting thing is we can reach almost anyone in the world of sports because it almost reverses the cycle. So there you have Adam Schefter, who for years and years and years has been relying on me for information, and then I get to interview him, or a football player or a coach. And so it's role reversal. And the same people who've relied on me for advice or been trying to get information, I now can turn the tables on.
You know, and Lee, there's so many things I personally love about radio, but your show, it is live, and I have to assume that you're going to love the immediacy of the format because you can respond, you can react to the latest sports headlines, and of course, you guys take callers as well.
Well, that's the key. So, for example, we're on Monday night, and there you have Johnny Manziel duking it out with Hoyer, who will start. Manziel's probably the hottest single player coming out of the college ranks in terms of name recognition in many years. And you watch it play out live where he is clearly not going to win the starting job, and then he makes an obscene gesture to the bench. And there's so many issues that come up every week. So yesterday they released franchise values for the NFL teams. And here Jerry Jones buys his team back in 1989 for $140 million, and now it's worth $3.2 billion.
Wow.
Or Bob Kraft buys his team in 1994 for $175 million, and now it's worth $2.6 billion. So it's unbelievable to see the growth of the economics in sports and to understand that in an economy that is much stressed, where there's high unemployment, underemployment, people are having a very tough time. You take this one area that we operate in, collegiate and professional sports, and oh my God, it's boom time.
Lee Steinberg, the president, the CEO of Steinberg Sports and Entertainment, and also the newest member of the Yahoo Sports Radio family, our network. His new show debuted earlier this week. It is titled Behind Closed Doors. You definitely want to check it out from 8 to 10 Eastern. And, you know, it is interesting, Lee. I think back to our conversation. I believe it was in the month of May. We were highlighting your new book that was released earlier this year, your 40-year career negotiating record-breaking contracts. But you also shared how you have been at the forefront in helping your clients establish careers after football, requiring them to donate money to their alma mater, their communities. And you were, Lee, one of the first voices in raising awareness about the long-term dangers of concussions. And I'm going to assume, you know, having a two-hour show, I mean, this is a tremendous opportunity, a format for you to educate, to provide knowledge and awareness to some good causes and to help the betterment of others.
Well, absolutely. So we can go into the whole concept of Ray Rice and whether or not two games was a significant enough suspension to really make the NFL clear in its response to domestic violence. And if athletes are the purveyors of domestic violence instead of the people campaigning against it, it sends exactly the wrong message. So the concept is role modeling. You have these larger-than-life figures who are coming into our living rooms in high-def color, and they are role models, whether Charles Barkley would like them to be or not. And so the point is they have an amazing ability to trigger imitative behavior, and they can do it positively or negatively. So let's take bullying. If you're in a high school and bullying's going on, if the athletes are sitting at the top of the matrix and they're the ones pushing the concept that bullying is wrong and real men don't bully, then it makes a real difference. And so they've got the ability to trigger any kind of change and any kind of concept that they want. So to misuse that power is a real waste. And to use it correctly, they can be much more than just athletes.
Is there a particular goal that you have in mind with the show each and every week?
I think that what I'd like to do is take listeners behind the scenes. So, for example, the issue of football in Los Angeles comes up. And why is there not a team there? Well, it happens that I was the co-chair of Save the Rams in 1994, and we fought the good fight to keep St. Louis from getting the team. But here we are 20 years later with no team, and so why is that? Well, you need to have a political leader to get a team. We haven't had that. You need one venue. We haven't had that. You need a public that's at least willing to put a few public dollars. We haven't had that. A supportive press. We haven't had that. So the reality is Los Angeles has not taken any of the steps necessary to attract a team. So you look behind the scenes in each story, or now the next $100 million contract comes out, and people are oohing and aahing. But the reality is that contract has $20 million of guaranteed money, and the rest of it are just salaries that the player probably never even earns. So you can take a new perspective on that. Or people are angry because Ray Rice got a two-game suspension, and here an athlete's caught with marijuana and he gets a four-game suspension, and how is that right? Well, the reality is that the drug policy, substance abuse, is negotiated in a collective bargaining agreement between the players and the owners. That exists independently of any other type of discipline, and they've agreed to it. So those penalties stand alone. So in issue after issue, the key is to try to give listeners a real insight into what's behind the scenes in every single issue or every single event and all the rest. So if you look at Johnny Manziel, the truth of the matter is whoever plays for the Cleveland Browns is going to get roughed up and have a very difficult time. They have two new running backs. They don't have their best wide receiver. They have a line with an excellent left tackle, but not much more. And so the reality is that the fact that you had three players come out a couple years ago, Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck, and RG3, who were very successful as quarterbacks right away, is an aberration. So Johnny Manziel was never going to be that successful, so he's cutting a break by not starting against three teams that would have crushed his confidence and crushed the team's confidence in him. But on the surface, it's, oh my God, he's not starting. Well, in the old days, if we go back 5 years, they wouldn't have thought of starting a quarterback. And the only reason these quarterbacks are starting so quickly is the salary cap demands that if a rookie quarterback has a big cap number, you can't have a talented quarterback in front of him also with a big cap number. So it's not good football development, but it's the way it is today.
Lee Steinberg joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Time for our first commercial break, and we will be right back with much more. You're listening to the voice of Lee Steinberg this evening at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We want you to connect with us online at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. And that was one of the questions at the top of my list that I wanted to visit with you this evening is, I'm sure you've had a chance to go back and review the game tape. I know you were on air during the preseason game with the Browns and the Redskins. What were your takeaways specifically from that game? And my other question I've got to ask you to follow up with is, what is your prescription on how to cure Manziel so that he does conduct himself differently on and off the field?
If I had him as a client, and let's remember now that at one point I had 23 quarterbacks in our sports practice, and I've had at some points half the starting quarterbacks in the NFL, so I've gone through this same developmental curve all the way back to Steve Bartkowski and Troy Aikman and Steve Young and Warren Moon and Drew Bledsoe and Ben Roethlisberger. So we've done this over and over and over again. I would sit him down and say, look, do you want to be a Hall of Fame quarterback? Is that important to you? Is that a goal of yours? Because if you do, I will tell you that this first year is all about football. You need to get yourself accepted by your teammates. You need to show your owner, your coach, your general manager, and your teammates that football is number one for you. And you need to be humble, humility around them. Get yourself accepted. Don't do a lot of endorsements. Don't stick out that way. Focus on football. The hardest transition is from the college game to a much faster game, faster paced. The corners and safeties don't move the same way. The defenses are confusing. You've got a much bigger playbook to assimilate. And if you run and tuck the ball and run on every play the way you did in college, you will inevitably get injured. So that's what this year is about. So no one expects you to be a monk, but you, you know, we're not expecting you to, you know, be celibate. But here's the point. You're now in a environment, because of social media, where the ubiquitous nature of the cell phone destroys public and private distinctions. You know, Matt Leinart is sitting in a hot tub in the off season in his home, and one of the people in the hot tub takes a picture of him. It goes up on the internet, and it makes his coach think that he's somehow dissolute and not focused on football.
Right.
Well, he's in his own home. So that would be what I would say to Johnny Manziel. This is football time. And then next off season, you know, go have some fun. And we can develop endorsements the rest of it. But don't let that lead your career.
You know, Lee, you are so spot on. I have to just mention, of course, you've had such unparalleled success and spent your entire career in athletic representation in professional sports. In fact, represented the number one pick in the NFL draft 8 times. Warren Moon, we're talking about, you know, Troy Aikman, Steve Young. You know, when we talk about Johnny Manziel, I mean, how could he continue to maintain this type of lifestyle? You can't be walking your horse two different directions. I mean, you have got to have that singular focus. And as you're talking about, I mean, this, you're sitting at the big boy stable now. You've got to have, you know, be totally dialed in.
Here's the thing. It's, you've now entered a world where each one of these players is the best at whatever they've done. But look, how reality-based is someone going to be that wins the Heisman Trophy as a freshman? And how reality-based is someone who ESPN built their entire television package around last year? But here's the thing. If you've got the freakish ability that Johnny Manziel does to extend the play, and, oh my goodness, he can extend the play where under ordinary circumstances, that quarterback's sacked, that quarterback throws a pick, that quarterback is run out of bounds, but wait, all of a sudden he completes a pass for 20 yards, and he has a freakish ability to lead a team back from being down 2 or 3 touchdowns. So you can never turn the television off because he's always got a chance. These are amazing talents. How does that quarterback get drafted number 22 in the first round? Are you telling me that not one team in the top 5 says, this is an amazing talent, we have to build our team around him? How could that happen?
Lee Steinberg has been with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. Of course, we want to encourage you to check out his brand new program right here at our Yahoo Sports Radio network that is on Monday nights from 8 to 10 Eastern. Lee, always a pleasure. We look forward to catching up with you again real soon, and we'll be tuning in on Monday night from 8 to 10. You bet. Much more straight ahead. Absolutely. Much more straight ahead at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. Okay, as always, we are so glad you are with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. Time now to head to San Antonio. We're going to hit the hardwood for some NBA news and notes, specifically with the San Antonio Spurs. We're delighted to have back with us tonight from Project Spurs. That is Jeff Garcia, and I'm sure he is still riding high after his Spurs won it all in 2014. How are you, Jeff?
I am doing wonderful. Thanks again for having me on.
Well, I'm very anxious for the start of the NBA season. I know we're still in the month of August, and it's still a while out, but the Raiders are a viable option and perhaps a new destination in San Antonio.
Yeah, that was a huge topic in this offseason right now. It was pretty much getting all fans in San Antonio, just sports fans in general in San Antonio, pretty excited. But it was a very polarizing topic. It was split right down the middle. You have one side of the San Antonio fan base saying, yes, let's do it. This is awesome. This city deserves to have a second professional team. Then you had another slice of the population of sports fans in San Antonio saying, it'll never happen. Why are we doing this again? This is not the first time we've gone around through this. There was a time where Red McCombs, the former owner of the San Antonio Spurs, who was at one point the owner of the Vikings, he had mentioned that he was going to move the Vikings to San Antonio. That never panned out. Then you had the hurricane that devastated New Orleans, and the Saints were playing in San Antonio for some time. And the owner there, Benson, he also owns, you know, lots of companies in San Antonio, and he threatened to move the Saints to San Antonio. It never happened. So it was a very polarizing topic, and the feel right now in San Antonio is that it has calmed down. A lot of the buzz, a lot of the talk has simmered. Now it's just kind of more of a thing where, well, until next time, that's what the feeling is now.
Project Spurs co-founder and editor Jeff Garcia is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. And your name dropping a bit when you talk about Red McCombs. And I remember in one of our recent interviews and conversations, I specifically asked him that, you know, if there would ever be a day that we might see an NFL franchise in San Antonio. And his words to me were, Elissa, this is a definite possibility. It's a great opportunity. I mean, it's hard to find an NFL team for sale. And if there's a chance to buy, you know, hey, go for it.
No, that's absolutely correct. Yes, go for it. But then again, you look at the city of San Antonio and the facilities that an NFL team would need. you have the Alamo Dome. It's very aged. Right now, it is just a home of the local university football team, the UTSA Roadrunners, but that's not going to cut it for an NFL brand, an NFL franchise. Renovations will need to come. Who's going to foot the bill? Is it another tax on the citizens of the city of San Antonio? You know, who knows? You also got the fact, too, is this. You got San Antonio competing against a major force on the West Coast, and that being the city of Los Angeles. You know, what if they throw their hat in there? What if they want to bring back the Raiders? San Antonio's market is what's in the late 30s as far as viewership. L.A. is L.A. We all know that they dominate. And plus, too, they're already in California. Even the move wouldn't be too far. So, again, it's just a very polarizing topic here in San Antonio. And right now, the focus has shifted to their minor league arena football team. And that should tell you a lot right now what's going on with the NFL talk in San Antonio, how much it's cooled.
Well, from what I've heard, too, what your new San Antonio mayor, Ivy Taylor, I mean, she certainly is a visionary. She said the city should not be dismissed, that this is a legitimate relocation and an option for the Oakland Raiders.
No, it really was. And a lot of the talk initially was that the San Antonio Spurs were pretty much all against bringing another pro franchise into San Antonio. You know, that was going to eat into their market, eat into their dominance, you know, split the fan base, you know, split the almighty dollar between two franchises. But lo and behold, some records were revealed and made public in San Antonio where it showed quite the opposite, that the Spurs were on board, that they were doing whatever they can do to bring an NFL franchise to the city of San Antonio. So, yeah, I mean, when you have the backing of the Spurs, a championship franchise back in the city of San Antonio, like for example, the mayor, you know, I guess that increases the chances of the Raiders coming to San Antonio. But again, it's been very quiet lately. There hasn't even been any buzz. Has there been anything going on? At one point, it reached a crescendo where that's all it was discussed on local TV, local sports radio, local news radio. And it pretty much just stopped. So I don't know if that's a sign of, well, you know, San Antonio ain't going to happen. But it's still not an answer. It's still not a definite no. Will there be another franchise, sports franchise in San Antonio aside from the Spurs? I think so. It's a lofty goal to get the NFL over here, but I can definitely see the city of San Antonio trying to get an MLS franchise, soccer franchise first over an NFL team.
Well, I have to wonder, you know, just how serious these conversations are, and I have to ask you this too, Jeff. I mean, do you think the Raiders perhaps that they could be just simply using San Antonio to get a better deal with the stadium back in Cali?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, leverage. The whole leverage. I mean, San Antonio has been used as leverage not only in the NFL side, but also on the MLB side. There was a moment in San Antonio history where the Marlins threatened to leave Miami or Florida and then come to San Antonio. There's been also rumblings in the past that MLS teams were threatening to come to San Antonio. So it always seems the city of San Antonio is always used as leverage. But if anything, I guess the silver lining in all this is that if they're using the city of San Antonio as leverage, then the chances of another pro team coming to San Antonio seems to be very high. Will it happen? I believe so. What branch will it be? MLS, MLB, NFL? Who knows? But if you have to rank them, I would definitely say NFL is the top priority, MLS, and MLB. Only MLB is last because city doesn't have the facilities for an MLB team.
Our good friend from Project Spurs, Jeff Garcia, is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, and we want to hear from you. You join us on Twitter right now. Connect with us at E Radio Sports. And speaking of the Spurs, let's talk about what has been going on in the offseason. They've had some savvy moves and a very nice pickup, a guy that I perhaps thought flew a little bit under the radar. Tell me about Kyle Anderson. I understand he's got a very high hoops IQ and that he could be just a beautiful fit into this system because they're bringing everybody back.
Either he is the next coming of Nostradamus or he just had that good feeling because months and months and months before he even was drafted by the San Antonio Spurs, he had spoke to a bunch of kids saying that his dream would one day to be a San Antonio Spur. Lo and behold, it happened. Talk about getting the right player to fit into the system.
Yeah.
His IQ is off the charts. He is Doris Diaw version 2.0. He can pass out of the post. He can pass on the wing. He can create his own shot. He's young. He's very lacking on athleticism, but he makes up for it in smart plays, smart passing, efficient scoring. Now, his play at the Summer League was kind of suspect, but then again, let's just remind people, Greg Ostertag dominated Tim Duncan when Tim Duncan played as a rookie in the Summer League. So I take it for a grain of salt how he played in the Summer League.
Hey, Jeff Garcia is with us at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. And another point I want to follow up on is, you know, he could be that impact player, but the Spurs, they really need some fresh legs and some fresh hops because they've got this veteran team. They got to infuse it with some youth.
That they do. You know, Kawhi Leonard is an emerging star. You have Patty Mills, who's still relatively young. Tony Parker is entering his prime, but not already in it. But you got to look at Manu Ginobili and Tim Duncan. Let's start off with Manu Ginobili. He just can't give it a go for Team Argentina at the upcoming FIBA World Cup in Spain. He tried and tried and tried. The injuries just wouldn't heal. He was playing on a bum leg. You know, the Spurs pretty much told him, no, you're not going to play. So there's that, and it looks like his time playing at a high level is pretty much over. You might get the occasional flashbacks heading into next year of vintage Manu, but those days are long and past. Tim Duncan, this guy found the views. I think he picked up where Ponce de Leon left off. I'm never going to count him out as long as he's on the court. Last season, he put in double-doubles. He was a driving force for the Spurs, still anchoring the defense. I don't count him out until he says he is done. And so far, he doesn't look like father. So far, it looks like more like father age zero, father time zero, Tim Duncan one. That's what it really looks like to me. And then, of course, you know, you got the other peripheral players. Matt Bonner, who's coming back. You know, they do have the one roster spot open. Many think they may offer to Aaron Baines, but there have been rumors that Aaron Baines is being enticed and courted by teams from overseas. Knowing the Spurs, they'll probably leave that roster spot open to see what shakes out during free agency period, or if players get waived after the trade deadline.
Okay, Jeff Garcia has been with us tonight at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. He is with Project Spurs. You can go to projectspurs.com, and we didn't even get a chance to talk in about the historic hiring of Becky Hammon. I promise that will be at the forefront of our next conversation. Talk to you soon. Thank you, Jeff.
You're welcome.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead at YSR. Join us at Twitter at eRadioSports. We will be right back. Okay, it is so good to be back with you on this Friday night at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And it is hard to believe we are already at the three-quarter mark of the Major League Baseball season, and things are definitely heating up with the postseason punch. And although the Astros, they currently stand fourth in the AL Western Division, they have definitely had some positives that have taken place, especially I think back earlier this week. Chris Carter on Wednesday hits that three-run home run in the ninth. The Astros topped the Yankees 7-4, and it was a beautiful thing to watch. And another encouraging sign, the Astros are trending in the right direction. I really believe the best is ahead. So tonight we have invited on one of the all-time best who have been with the Houston Astros organization, and he's a 15-year Major League Baseball playing career. That is Enos Cabell, who currently is a special assistant to the general manager, Jeff Luhnow. Good evening, Enos. It's good to have you with us.
Well, thank you. I'm just sitting here just watching the ball game as usual, and as you said, we're getting better.
You certainly are, and I'm looking forward to your insight on how the season has played out so far, because you are starting to see the fruits of all the hard work. You're building a formidable foundation, and you're making some progress towards those goals.
Yeah, well, it took us a long time. Jim Crane just bought the team probably 3 years ago, and it should have been we should have been trying to revamp years before that, but when Drayden McClain was here, he always wanted to have a contending team, so that meant going out buying free agents and hopefully they would play well and we would still contend and maybe have a chance to win the championship. But when Mr. Crane took over, it changed that whole atmosphere, where we broke the whole organization down, revamped practically everything that we did, and really started to rebuild from the youth on up. So you're seeing the fruits right now. We lost, 3 years in a row really bad.
Right.
And I think this year we'll probably have the biggest improvement out of any major league team.
Special Assistant to the General Manager, Enos Cabell with the Houston Astros, is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. And I know when we look at your overall record, it's not where you want it to be, but give us your assessment of just how good the Astros are right now offensively.
Well, it's mostly has to do with Carter. Chris Carter has really come on the first third of the year. He has a tendency to strike out, and that's probably using the word lightly, because he's always struck out 180 to 220 times, and he'll probably strike out about 180 this time. But his damage that he does with his home runs and big base hits has really come into the forefront the last two-thirds of the year. And he just has to keep that up. We're missing a couple of guys right now. Springer is not able to play. He's on the disabled list, and he's a young talent that's going to be really good in the future. But we brought up a lot of young players, and they're pretty good players, so they're going to stabilize our team and our organization.
Yeah, I want to talk about your farm system here in just a moment, but I mentioned in the open, the Astros, you currently stand fourth in the AL Western Division. You certainly have faced adversity along the way, some injuries. You've gone through some tough stretches, but when you have encouraging signs, like, you know, being on the road, having a dramatic win on the road against the Yankees, even though you've taken your lumps, I mean, it really proves that this is a team that can be competitive and they can be dangerous. And they certainly, Enos, they cannot be overlooked.
No. I mean, we knew it was going to be like this. It's when you create a team, what you really want to do when you create it, you want some veterans, then you want some middle-aged players, and then you want some young kids. And that way you keep winning. If you get to where you're totally occupied with having 30, 34, 35-year-old guys playing, you're not going to sustain a winning atmosphere. And what we try to do is mix those guys in. And what you're seeing right now is a team that's like that. They don't quit. They play hard every day. They give you a good nine innings and sometimes extra innings, but we're a little short. But with maturity, I think our best players are from 22 years old to 26 years old. So that's a stabilization of your organization. And as you said, our minor league system is really good. We've got a pot full of pitchers that are coming, and people are really going to be happy when they see that.
You're listening to the voice of Enos Cabell with the Houston Astros, and so let's zero in on your farm system. What has been the key to making that progress and the rise?
Well, it started when Jeff Luhnow came aboard. He ended up revamping our whole system because we had draft picks that we had before, but we never spent a lot of money on the draft picks. And what you've seen come about is that for the last 3 years, we've had number ones and number twos and guys that have really been able, I think, are going to play in the major leagues. Before, we were always in the middle of the pack picking, and so it was pot luck what you're going to get. So those kids that we have coming are really good, and most of them are pitchers. I mean, we've got probably 8 to 9 guys that can be one or twos in your starting rotation that are coming up through our system, and they're like 18, 19, 20 years old. So they should be real good.
Who are some of the players and the prospects that we should be keeping our eye on that will be able to step in eventually and really be able to make an impact and be a difference maker?
Well, we've called up a few now. Folkenevich is our main guy. He throws 98 to 100 miles an hour. And it's yet to be said if he's going to be a closer or he's going to be a starter. So pitching is our biggest thing. We've got a couple of left-handers. We got a kid we got from in the Bud Norris trade named Hader, who is a left-hander, and he's about 6'4". He throws 94 miles an hour, and he only weighs about 180 pounds.
Wow.
So hopefully we can put about 15 more pounds on him, and he'll get more consistent and really bring up the heat a little bit. Vincent Velasquez, who is, Vince was a number two draft choice, probably four years ago. And he throws about 94, 95, and he's got three pitches he throws, all four strikes, and he's going to be really good. And we've got Appel, the young kid from Stanford, who was our number one draft choice 2 years ago. And then also we got Moran, who's I think he was drafted in the fifth or sixth round for the Miami Marlins, and he's going to probably be our future third baseman. So we've got a bunch of kids that are coming. We added with the Tuves and the Springers and the Singletons that we already have. I mean, it's looking pretty good. These guys are probably can't miss players, and hopefully they'll continue to grow and mature.
We are talking to Enes Cabell with the Houston Astros this evening at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We want to hear from you. Join us online at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. And there's no doubt, I mean, Enes, there is a lot of good players up and down the system. But one of the players, and I know he's had to battle his injuries, but George Springer, give us some insight on him. I mean, did you anticipate that he would be this good coming into the season?
Yeah, well, I thought he would be. And he finally got here, I think, right at the end of the first month. This kid's a 5'2 player. He's got athletic ability. I saw him score from first base on a ball hit off the pitcher's foot. And you just don't do things like that. The last guy I saw do that was Willie Mays. And, I mean, it's just his talent is so – you don't know where he's going to end up. His problem is he strikes out a lot because a lot of times when – kids come from the minor leagues to the big leagues, major leagues, it's really tough for them to adjust because the game speeds up on them and they try to speed up with the game and you can't do that. So he's adjusting to that. I mean, he can steal bases, he can play the outfield, he can play center or right or left, and he's got tremendous power. I mean, he hits it into the Everglades. So he can he's a good player. He's a nice player to watch. He's got about 20 home runs. He's only played like maybe 60 games. Mm-hmm. So when he gets in and gets healthy and stays there, I think we're really going to be committed and we're really going to move on.
Special assistant to the general manager with the Houston Astros, Enes Cabell, has been with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio. An honor to have you on our program. And Enes, we will talk to you again real soon, okay?
All right, well, thanks for calling.
You bet. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR.
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. We're your destination for electrical products. Keep yourself safe and protected with new GFCI outlets from Legrand. They're available in a variety of finishes. Now at Menards, save big on all Legrand outlets and dimmer switches. View our entire selection of Legrand products today on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening this week.
Save big.